folks, the one and only Geordie Alt-Right Hate Blogger, as featured in the Hope Not Hate Annual 2019 report. So I thought I'd have a bit of a look at the report, but I think I'm going to not get carried away with histrionics and ranting on and take an objective look at it, because I read it every year, actually, and this is the first time it's featured me. But it does give you a valuable insight in how the opposition is thinking and where and what they perceive to be our advantages and disadvantages, sort of the general state of play. It's easy to mock it and have a laugh at it because, you know, they've got satanic Nazis in there, for Christ's sake. All these groups nobody's ever heard of. But what you're seeing is a report not so much on dissident groups within Britain, but about how the establishment is thinking and what they're worried about. And that's why it's actually something interesting to read. And so I thought I'd give a something of an objective look at the general situation using this report. Hope Not Hate, I mean, obviously it's an organ of the elites, and they don't seem too concerned with ideological purity, and so I'm going to shelve that here as well, as much as I can. I can't do it, you know, 100%. But we can get into the basics right from the start, and just sort of, to get really down to it, what are they and what do they do? Well, if you take the odd visit to Hope Not Hate's website, what you'll see is pictures and doxes of people who are politically incorrect, basically. And what they're trying to do is shame them and get them fired from their jobs. Hope Not Hate, sort of, if you're going to have a meeting about something controversial, Hope Not Hate will ring up the hotel or wherever it is and try and have the meeting ruined, banned, deplatforming, doxings. That's what they're doing. But they don't actually have any sort of state power. They're connected to the state. They're an organ of the globalist establishment, but they don't actually have any raw power of their own. What they're doing, and this is going to be key, I think, in order to understand the state of play here, and because the report's riddled with it, and I'm going to get into it a bit. What they do to attack us is use cultural power. When somebody is, I mean, the idea of doxing being something that people are worried about, if your name is on the internet and you go to apply for a job, you're not going to get the job. People are going to think you're racist and all of this. But all of this is only possible because of cultural power. So the elites, the media and the government, the universities, have actually sort of cast this ideological cloud across the West, and Hope Not Hate use that and its morality to enforce what the globalists want. That's actually what they do. That's how it works. And it's so at the end of the day, it is just about preserving the power of the elites. And so what's interesting about Hope Not Hate's report is that they've literally, in the right in the top of the headline, it's called "The People Versus the Elite." And so this is something, I mean, it pops up again and again and again. There's variations of it throughout the main report. And this is what they're most concerned about, this going into 2019. And to me, it speaks of a loss of power. Because what Hope Not Hate are trying to do, if you think of it where you've got people on the fringes, and the people on the fringes are actually, well, this is the problem, because the fringes seem to grow. the amount of people on the fringes relative to the amount of people in the sort of metropolitan elite cabal grows exponentially every year. And in fact, yeah, there's a ton of statistics. So one of them is that 55% of our people in Britain believe our political system is broken. And they've got a ton of this kind of information. So the general consensus here is that there's this hell of a lot of pissed off people in Britain, and Hope Not Hate are looking to find out why that is and who is doing that, because that can only happen if the cultural power of Hope Not Hate, or let's say the establishment and the elites, is on the wane. And that's why it's important not to get too carried away with ideological purity here, because whatever you think of somebody like Sargon of Akkad, he is actually a problem to them, because he is undermining their position. He is questioning political correctness, and to a massive audience. And what this does, what this has, is to eat away at the cultural power which the elites have. And Hope Not Hate is acutely aware of this and where it's going to go. Well, or where it could go, and that's the problem. They need to have everything under control, because if the masses, let's just say, they aren't actually supposed to know that political correctness exists. They're not supposed to be conscious of it. They're supposed to think of it as just being the way things are. This is just how you should behave. This is the morality of the times. This is just doing and thinking and saying the right things. And when you've got people who are constantly hammering away at this, more and more people are going to start and question the pervading orthodoxy. And so Hope Not Hate's there to make sure they don't do that, because eventually it eats into the it'll eat its way back to the elites themselves, to the center of power. And that's what they don't want to have happen. What they want to have happen is where the vast bulk of the population remain subdued to the globalist morality, the globalist orthodoxy, and then that. But there's always will be fringe elements, and they will be quite easy to contain, and their sphere of influence will be tiny. But mainly because of the internet, that's not the case anymore, and the orthodoxy is being, to one degree or another, shown up. And ridiculed and exposed. Now you can, because one person is such as the Katie Hopkins types. There's a lot of people in there, even UKIP, Paul Joseph Watson. They're all in there. Lawrence Southern. You can have a discussion that they're not kind of cutting deep enough, but okay, whatever. We are where we are. And Hope Not Hate are really worried about this, because the power of the to keep the masses under control is very much on the wane. And in fact, it's manifested itself in 2018 with people in their thousands marching on London, which is, if you're this sort of cosmopolitan cabal who are dumping on the people, that's the last thing you want. And Hope Not Hate says again and again, there's this huge problem. But the problem is, people are going to become conscious of, once people become conscious of the political correct orthodoxy itself, then they're also going to be conscious of what Hope Not Hate are and what Hope Not Hate do. So then, far from actually being something which is useful to the elites, again, just from their perspective, I would probably defund and abolish Hope Not Hate as fast as possible. Because Hope Not Hate, I mean, they have all of these lines in their report about how the people, and all of these statistics as well, about how the people do no longer trust the elite. But the problem is, Hope Not Hate are the people who are going to try and destroy people's lives for not agreeing with the elite. And so I mean, if I just say, if I was a big Goldberg in a bank, and I was funding Hope Not Hate, and I would be reading this report and I'd be thinking, what the hell are we paying you kids for? Yous are fucking useless. the situation is just getting worse and worse and worse. In fact, your very existence sort of perpetuates the problem because you are an aggressive, mean, vindictive organization which is directly connected to the elites. I think that's bad play. If I was, I would definitely look to shelve Hope Not Hate itself if I was one of the elites. But in any case, that's probably not likely to happen because then I don't know. I don't know how they're going to keep this under control, because the fringes are no long because of the internet. The fringes are no longer very easy to sort of wall off from the general population. This is, of course, one of the strategies all along has been to use the two. So, Hope Not Hate use cultural power. Soft power. That's really what this is, soft power. But the state, there's a sort of pincer movement. So on the one hand, you've got the cultural power of the media and Hope Not Hate, and the universities, and then on the other side of the pincer movement, you've got brute state force. And what we've seen in the last year are where somebody says something, he misgenders an intergender to one of them people on the Twitter, and he's got the police kicking his door down. That's not ideal, because then that all that does is then give more of a sense of grievance to the general population, and it's a sign that the cultural power is on the wane. It's they can't hold it anymore through purely meta political means. The idea would be that dissidents are, on the one hand, crippled and silenced through state power, while at the same time, the fact they are crippled can be explained with cultural power. They can say these are extremists, these are nut jobs, but with cultural power on the wane, they've lost the ability to do that because nobody really believes in the cultural power that much. Only, well, yeah, okay, hold on. There's still a lot of people who do believe in it, but it's very much on the wane, and all you have left with, well, increasingly, is brute state force and police kicking people's doors down for hate think, and that's worse again because it adds to the general sense of animosity and grievance within the general population. And Hope Not Hate is trying to point this out, but they couldn't have actually been more explicit about it without actually just saying people just think we're bullshit artists and they'd like to see us gone from the cultural sphere. Because, I mean, if you look at, they've supposedly got 70,000 Twitter followers. But there's almost no interaction on the account at all. So, and this is important because in order to have cultural power, you're going to have to present yourself that you are the moderating voice, you are the standard position, the one with all of the arguments. And they don't do that. They don't even try to do that whatsoever. Sargon Akkad can make a video about, a Muslim extremist or something like that, something which is non-politically correct, and he'll get a much, much, much bigger response to that and a reach with that than anything that the cultural power has, except mainstream television. That's all they've got. And so the idea that Hope Not Hate are standing on the same centre ground is ridiculous, because to them the fringes then have come so far in that the elites and their cultural spheres are beginning to look like the fringe themselves. The masses are, if you find a voice, even though, I mean, they're right to point out there's no political leadership whatsoever ideologically, which is why I'm not going to get into some sort of purity spiral here. Ideologically, it's a dog's breakfast, it's a complete mess. Everybody bickers, nobody really agrees on anything, but there is this general undertension in the society. And it's extremely worrying to Hope Not Hate. And in fact, this is the whole report this year, and it's one of waning cultural power. And what we're going to see in the, and that won't come back either. And the people like these, they do understand this because it's what the left did. It's the long march through the institutions, gradually changing the morality of the population over time. And they even cite cultural Marxism on their website as being a conspiracy theory. But and then they'll all right. Well, how did we get where we were then? How did that happen by magic? You, I mean, they are the living embodiment of it. When once they reached a degree of cultural hegemony, then it was time to boot people's doors down. And once they had that cultural power, well, your face goes up on the website and you're a racist scumbag forever. Your life's destroyed, and let that be a warning to the rest of you bastards. That's the general line they have. That's the way they look at it. And yet they're going to turn around and say, well, there's no, it never happened. This is just the way, this is just normal life. Bullshit. We can all see it. And they're not very popular for it either. So, what I think the real problem is that they can no longer, there's a flow coming from the general mass of what will be the white British. And the cultural and state force is there to try and prevent it, but the cultural side of it is letting the side down. And what they see is the dissidents, the fringe, connecting with the main mass as a hotline, which is already happening. And a critical theory now is coming, is being directed towards the left, and it's extremely popular, much more popular, and edgy and fun than anything they have to offer. And I don't know what they're going to do about that because we're already going to see more state force. They're more and more relying on the police, the men and the uniforms coming to arrest people, and that's because the cultural power, which Hope Not Hate represents, is a dying force. And I think soon they'll just be not a pincer anymore, but just one sort of left hook, which is the state itself. And the mask will be off, the velvet glove will slip, and the rusty knuckle duster will be revealed. But nevertheless, we're going to keep on going, and it's going to be fun. And if I make it in there next year, then all the better. I'll do another review next year and see where we are. I will say one thing though. These people aren't working 40 hours in a factory. They attack us full time. So if you'd like to chip in below, well, thank you very much. I'll see you later, folks.